everybody this morning. Number six, how great thou art, one who all for work. Number six.
Greatest songs ever written. You can look at any song you want to, and that is one of the greatest songs ever written, because it speaks of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and also what his one of these days he's going to carry us home. Amen. Thank God for his amazing grace this morning. How great thou art. Good to see everybody here. I hope and trust that you had a good week. Been a long week, been a hot week, been a hard week, but we made it through it. Amen.
Amen.
But nevertheless, it's good to be back in God's house. Good to see all the smiling faces, and you that ain't smiling, good to see you too. Amen. But nevertheless, it's good to be here. I thought that'd get you to smiling. And some of you was early this morning. Praise God. I mean, that means you was ready to start worshiping God early. Amen. So Bible says early, early in the morning will I seek thee. And it's good to see you this morning. Let me get these announcements quickly. Don't forget school supplies. The whole month of August, there'll be a pail back here in the vestibule. Now, do you need anything specific or just
school
all
supplies?
Anything specific? And
I'm sorry. It will be appreciated.
Okay. So we'll have a pail back there marked with that on there. And then this coming Wednesday night, we'll have our elections. If you haven't gave your little cards to Renee or Miss Ellen, either one, Miss Renee beat Miss Ellen here this morning. Can you believe that? I just blowed my mind. I'm still in shock. You know, I mean, it was 8:48 when she walked in the door. And me and Bill looked there, man, clock's done got wrong or something, you know. anyhow, make sure if you got one of those cards over the last couple weeks or whatever, get them to those ladies before you leave today, all right? And then praise team practice will be August the 16th. And homecoming will be next Sunday. All right? Don't forget that. Next Sunday is homecoming. Invite somebody to come. We'll have food, fellowship. I mean, all kind of stuff going on. And that's next Sunday. It has really... flew. I mean, this year is about gone anyhow. I was thinking the other day, four months till Christmas already. Seemed like we just had that, you know. Whew, time flies when you get old, I reckon. So they always told me it gets faster as you get older. So how true that is. The older I get, the smarter Mom and Daddy gets. Amen. So, that's coming on. And Travis and them will be here to sing for us. They're going to, right after Sunday school class, try to everybody get your seats by 11 o'clock. We're going to turn them loose at 11. And we're not going to have the choir. We're not going to have nothing else. Right then, we're going to let them sing. And then after they get done singing, we'll take up the offering. And then I'll preach, and then we'll go eat, all right? So that's the way we're going to try to lay it out. Now, if the Lord sees different, we're going to let him be the preacher. Amen. We'll let the big preacher show up and let him turn loose. But anyhow, that's next Sunday. All right. And then visitation, August the 23rd at 6:30. And then the wedding shower for Cheyenne Ingo will be here August the 25th. And what time? There ain't no time.
It's from
here.
11 until 1.
11 till 1. All right, so that'll be, they used to come here years ago, and Cindy, is going to take care of this.
Yeah, Mom, it's on the, yeah.
Okay.
She helps
so that's.
The young lady.
I didn't do that.
She grew up in this church, and they don't come now, but she grew up in this church.
Yeah.
So several people are familiar with her, but she, okay. If you'd like to come, I'm sure it would be appreciated.
All right. All right, and then let's see, the Take Back Anson, or Take Anson Back, will be the 26th at New Home at 6 o'clock, all right? Anson Health and Rehabilitation Center will be 9:30, September the 16th. Let Cindy know if you have any questions or if she can answer any questions.
Be ready to come.
Yeah. Amen. All right. And then Anson Crisis Ministry is toothpaste, and that'll be a pail back there. And the deacon of the week is Bob Griffin. Now, some of y'all don't know Bob, but that's Jamie.
Oh, my gosh.
Some of you know who Bob is.
Jamie, I apologize.
No, it's Jamie. No, we keep something going all the time. You know what? It don't hurt to smile. It don't hurt to have a good time. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. And are there any other prayer requests other than what we added? Now, we added Becky Wilson. Judy McCoy is already on there. We pray for her family. Maverick, they would not transport. There you are. They would not transport. So they're going to have to haul him in the car with his intestines protruding. They wouldn't haul him from Carolina's Medical to Duke, right?
Yeah, Levine.
Levine, yeah. From Levine Hospital to Duke, and his intestines protruding out of his body, and they wouldn't even transport him. So let's pray for that. And he's
6 months
he's
old.
9 pounds. So it's sad situation when people need help, they can't get it. People that don't need it can get all they want. It's sad. So let's pray for Maverick. And then Miss Daisy goes this coming week sometime to get your talk to the other doctors.
Next week.
Next week. Okay. All right. Good to see Miss Daisy back with us. Good to see Lucy back with us. Are there any other prayer requests that we need to add other than what we've already added this morning?
Bob Garrison. A guy I work with, Bob Garrison.
Bob Garrison. All right. Any others? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we count it an honor and a privilege this morning, Lord, just to be able to come to your house again. Lord, our prayer list just continues to grow and grow and grow. But I'm so glad I serve a God that's bigger than any problem we have. Lord, that's bigger than any sickness that we have. That's bigger than any pain that we can possibly go through. Lord, I'm so glad you said you wouldn't put no more on us than we could bear. And Lord, we're bringing all of these hurts, pains, burdens, all of this to you this morning, Lord, and just ask that you would take care of each and every problem. Lord, each and every prayer request. Lord, that you would just go wherever they may be, Lord, that you would touch and heal them according to thy precious will. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would just be with our service today. Lord, bless the choirs they sing. Lord, that they would sing for the upbuilding of thy kingdom this morning. And Lord, I ask that you would bless the service today. Lord, I pray that you'd clear our mind and our conscience of all the worldly things outside the doors of this church. Lord, that you would set our mind on heavenly things. Lord, that we could get what thus saith the word of God. And Lord, I desire your power this morning. Lord, I need your power from on high. I pray that you would open up the doors and the windows of heaven and you would pour out the Holy Ghost power on this service today. Lord, that some lost soul might walk the aisle today and get saved. Some old backslider, Lord, that slipped away from you, Lord, would come to the bleeding side of Calvary. Now, Father, I ask, Lord, that you would just use us today in a mighty way. Lord, I ask that you would bless this month, Lord. We've got so much coming up. Lord, I pray that you'd bless homecoming. Lord, is this coming next Sunday? Lord, may you save souls, proclaim backsliders there. Lord, I ask that you would lead, guide, direct us, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Oh.
All right. Choir, y'all done a great job. We just need to finish filling this side up and we'll be good. Amen. All right. Wes, ask the blessings on those. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Miss Sandra. I'm glad God gives new grace when it's your time to die. That's right. If you have your Bibles, if you would, the book of Psalms, chapter 119. The book of Psalms, chapter 119. Be looking at several verses this morning, but I've thought, you know, over the past couple years, almost, well, November, what is it, the 18th, I believe it is my anniversary. It'll be 3 years. There's been several souls saved here in our church. And I want everybody to understand one thing right now before I go any further. It has nothing to do with me, but all by the Word of God. And as I was sitting there this week in my office, I thought, you know, there's been several lives that have been changed over the past 2.5-3 years. And the only part I have in it is preaching. That's it. The rest is by the Word of God. So I titled this message this morning, Changed by the Word of God. Because if it wasn't for the Word of God, if Jesus had not died, came and died as a baby, and then 33.5 years later died on an old rugged cross, and then 3 days later rose up the third glorious morning, we wouldn't have the gospel. Now, I want y'all to think about that. We wouldn't have what we've got here. We may have had, you know, some of the laws, of course, but we wouldn't have had grace and mercy. And because Jesus came and died and shed His life's blood and rose up the third glorious morning, we have His Word, which is His mercy and grace. So it ain't the preacher that changes you, it's the Word of God, amen? And I want to look at it this morning, but before I read, I want to give you just a few things that popped in my mind, and if you write them down, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too, but I got a little bit of scripture here I want to give you before I get into the message, because it laid on my heart, you know? And I'd like to share it with you. This ain't the message, but it's something that God allowed me to share. First of all, just some general principles concerning the Word of God. First thing I thought of is God's thoughts ain't my thoughts. You ever thought about it that way? God thinks a whole lot different than what we think, doesn't He? And Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, like I said, you don't have to turn there. I just want to give you some scripture this morning that'll help you. But God said, your thoughts are not my thoughts, saith the Lord. And then I thought the next thing about the Word of God is I thought God's Word will accomplish His will. Now think about that. God's Word will accomplish His will. And in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, if you're writing them down, that would be your cross-reference verse there. And then I thought on the third thing, principles concerning the Word of God, God's warnings are absolute. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you don't accept Jesus Christ, guess what? You're going to die and go to hell. It's that simple. God don't make no bones about it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is that not what He said? There's no other way that you can get to heaven except by going through Jesus Christ. So God's warnings are absolute. Number four and last one. I thought God's promises are absolute. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? He promised me that where He is, one of these days, if I accept Him, I will be there also. Is that not right? We get to go where Jesus is. So His promises are absolute. To be spiritually prosperous, listen to this statement now, and if you're writing this down, you need to write this statement down very closely. To be spiritually prosperous, you know, everybody, I don't think there's a person here this morning, and we've got a good-looking crowd up here. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all catch that here in a little bit. But I don't think there's a person here that don't want to be prosperous, that don't want to have a little something. You follow me? Whether it's a Harley, amen, or it's a pontoon boat, or, you know, we all want to have a little something that we want, and it's going to take a little extra work, right? Be prosperous. But I said all that to say this. To be spiritually prosperous, we must align our thinking with God's thinking. Does that make sense? In other words, if we want to be spiritually prosperous, we got to think like God. Now, my question to you is this morning, are you thinking like God? When you walk into the house of God, when you walk out of the house of God, when you walk in your house, when you walk into the workplace, are you thinking like God? That goes right along with the Sunday school lesson. But I wonder how many of us Christians this morning would like to be spiritually prosperous? Now you think about that. Now, look with me if you will. I just wanted to give you that. Lord laid that on my heart sitting there at work this past week. And as I was studying this, reading this, and I thought, man, I'm going to share that because that's some good thoughts, you know, that God gave me. And I want to share them with you. But Psalms chapter 119 and verse 1. Now watch as we get into the message. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walketh, watch this, in the law of the Lord. Look at verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him, wow, with your whole heart. That's having a mindset and thinking like God, is it not? That you're surrendering you're all to God. Now watch verse 3. They also do, look, no iniquity. Now let me stop right here and say this. There's not one perfect person in this place. Every last one of us are going to sin every day of our life. There is none righteous. No, not one. Hey, wasn't but one perfect one, and his name was Jesus Christ. We can strive to be that way, but we're going to fall short, are we not? We're going to come short of the glory of God. But it says, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Can I put it like this morning? If we walk in his ways, we're going to be less likely to sin. How about if we do it that way? Because I don't care who you are this morning, you're going to have bad thoughts. You're going to have negative thoughts. Am I right or wrong? Especially driving nowadays. Bless God, you're gonna have some thoughts. Amen. Especially I've seen this week. Just this week, I don't know how many wrecks I've seen. And all it was carelessness. You know, if you slow down, look around you, and pay attention, I believe the roads would be better. Same with our walk with Jesus Christ. If we'd slow down, pay attention, look around, and walk like we're supposed to walk, I believe we'd be a whole lot better off. Amen? Watch this. Verse 4. Thou hast commanded. That's pretty strong right there, isn't it? Commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. In other words, that's striving continually. That's what diligence means. It means continually striving to walk like Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Look at verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. What is the statutes of God? That is the Word of God. That is the law of God. That is His way and not our way. Look at verse 6. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy... the Word of God. Are you with me? The precepts, diligence, all of these things all point back. The commands of God are in the Word of God. All right? Now watch in verse 7. I will praise thee with what? How do we know what's right and what's wrong? Word of God, right? I've heard people say, what would Jesus do? Well, you know what? He's already walked it, he's already done it, or he didn't do it, and it's right here in the Word of God. It's that simple. I'm telling you, if it's anything, Mark, write this down right here. This is going to help you understand what I'm going to get to the message in a minute. Anything, watch this, anything contrary to the Word of God is sin. How about that? That's an easy way to understand it, isn't it? Anything contrary to the Word of God is sin. My title this morning, changed by the Word of God. Look, the finished verse 7, and I'll move on. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned, watch this, thy righteous judgments. How do we learn anything? First of all, you got to pay attention. Is that not right? You got to read. I don't know about you, but when I was in school, when I see it, Cindy, you might throw a shoe at me for saying this, but, you know, they put up on the signs at the elementary school, read, read, read all summer long. Y'all sing those things, you know. I hate reading. I told you he was going to throw something at me. I can't sit there. Now, my wife, she can sit there and read, read, and read. She reads books. She'll lay out on the godforsaken sandy beach and read all day if she wanted to. Some of y'all just got back from the beach. I go to the mountains. I told you that last week. Because you're closer to God instead of down there in the flat valleys. Amen. And you don't have to worry about getting sand in your bed either. But anyhow, I thought, you know, if we learn to read God's Word, if it's just a verse or two a day, you know, I've told y'all this before and I'll tell you this again, and this is going to get into my message right here. What good is it to read through the Bible 50 times if you don't know nothing about the Bible when you get done with it? Huh? What good is it? But what it helps if you read one or two verses a day and understand those verses, then you get something out of the Word of God. You see, if you take John 3:16 and read that verse, "For God so loved the world." How many know you're part of the world? Jesus loves you this morning. You break that down, amen, and you break that verse down and understand each and every part of it, then you've accomplished something. So I say to you this morning, open up the Word of God, and if it ain't but one or two verses that you can comprehend, you have accomplished something if you have comprehended. Those are some big words this morning. Huh? But how many of us have accomplished something we can comprehend? Are you with me? What good does it tell our students in school to go home and read an entire book, give them a quiz on it the next day, and they didn't get past the first chapter? What about the last 15 chapters? They didn't understand, or they flew by just to say, "I read the book." That don't do us no good. But if you take it a little bit at the time and understand it, then you're going to get something out of the Word of God. Amen. So number one, how does the Word of God change us? How does it change us? Number one, it teaches us true principles of praise. It teaches us true principles of praise. You say, "What do you want? What do you mean by that, preacher?" We want to have fear in certain situations. We want to allow God to give us the answer ahead of time. But how many know there's a lot of times that you have to walk through the problem to get through the problem? Amen. You have to walk to the problem to get through the problem. So many times we want God just to be in front of us, sweeping a clear path. But it don't work that way. How many know that when you're down in the valley, that's where you learn the hardships, the hard times, and you look back after you get on the mountaintop and say, "Praise God, I'm not going that way no more." I mean, I've seen many and heard many drunkards, across this land say that, "Praise God, He saved me away from that. I have no desire to go back to it." Amen? Are you with me? That's what the Word of God can do this morning. If you'll just allow it to open up your hearts and your minds. If we go to the problem, God's going to help us through the problem. And I'm so glad He does, aren't you? He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you even until the end of the way." It don't matter how thick it is, how hard it is, how rugged it is. Praise God, He's going to walk right beside of you the whole way. I know a lot of times it don't seem like He's still holding your hand. It don't seem like that He's still got a hold of you. And the times get hard and the times get rough. But praise God, He said, "You consider the lily. I don't toil nor spin. There's nothing too big for my God to get me through. If I just walk to the problem, He's going to get me through the problem." Amen. It teaches true principle of praise. And you say, "What does that true principle of praise mean, preacher?" That means that when you walk out of the other side and you walk through those problems and you look up and you see God's smiling face, amen, that you've got through the problems and you got through the hard times. That means to tell me that you can look back and say, "Praise God, He got me through another one." Amen. He's not going to leave you by yourself, I can promise you that. I know there's been times that God said, you cast all your cares on me. Why? Because I care for you. Amen. You can lay all your burdens on me because I'll carry them. My burden, take mine. Mine's easy and light. Ain't that what he said? But there's a lot of times it seems like that we get all the burdens on our back and we can't hardly stand up. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? It seems like God has put so much on you and the devil's been aggravating you and you're just about on your knees. Well, let me tell you something this morning. I'm going to go ahead and preach a little bit right here, can I? Let me tell you something. If the weight on your shoulders got you down, go ahead and fall to your knees. Because a man stands tallest on his knees when he's praying this morning. Amen. Continue to pray. Continue to lift up your eyes. Continue to reach up and grab a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's going to get you through those hard times. You say, how, preacher? Reading the Word of God. That's going to get you through. Amen. There's no problem. I don't care what it is. There's nothing that hadn't been answered in this word somewhere or another. You just got to take time to read it. Not only it teaches us true principle, we want to have fear in certain situations, but it shows God is truly working in our lives. You know, I think many times, what's the evidence that God is working in your life? What evidence can you see that God is truly working in your life? Now, I want you to think about that just a little bit. I know some of you may have been out of church for a while and all of a sudden God started working in your life and got you in church. That's true evidence, amen? I mean, I'll tell you some more evidence that God is working in your life. You got out of your pew and come down here and got saved. God, that's true evidence that God is working in your life. And then all of a sudden, we got back here to the watery grave, and we got you baptized, and you come up a new creature in Christ to show the world. That's something else that God can say, I'm working in your life. But then I want you to look at this. What are the precepts in your life? What is God doing in your life that the world can see? You think about that. What can the world see in your life that you have been changed? I'll tell you what. If the world sees you praying, they're going to see a change. You see, they have took prayer out of school. They have took all of the necessities. They're trying to take in God we trust. Praise God, we got a president that said that ain't going to happen. Amen. Thank God for that. But they're trying to take the in God we trust off of our money. And then they took the Ten Commandments down and they have changed it and doing all these other things. But you know what? They can't stop me from bowing my head and praying. Amen. I don't care what they do, what they say, it ain't going to stop me from praying. You know what? I've been in places in my life that prayer has the only thing that's got me through. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, hard times. Prayer has got me through. But can I say something to you this morning? It all boils back to the Word of God. I wouldn't know how to pray and what to pray for unless I read the Word of God. Amen? That shows true principle. How many this morning can say, I'm truly a Christian? Now you think about that. How many this morning can say, I come to the house of God ready to praise God? Now you think about that. How many of us this morning, as we were sitting back here Monday night, how many of us that was here, and we had a great crowd Monday night. I know we had several on vacation, but I think we still had 19, something like that. I mean, we had a great crowd, but in the men's room back there, I petitioned the men, every one of them, to pray that God would work in a mighty way. How many remember me and you was there, remember me asking that? Did you pray about it? You see, that's how God is working, and we come to the house of God, and these people that come into the house of God not saved, they don't want to see a dead church. This is what I told them. I'm going to go ahead and tell the whole church. I said, they don't want to come in and see a dead bunch of people, a dead group. What they want is to see a people that will come in and shout the victory and want what they've got. That's what they want. They don't want to see somebody sitting there like a knot on a log. They want to see somebody glad they're saved. Amen. Hey, I want what they got. I want to be filled with the Spirit like them. I told you on Monday nights we have church back there. We have a good time. Amen. Thank Randy for bringing the lesson. And Brother Jimmy for helping me and Brother Jimmy and all the rest of the men. We sort of throw our two cents in. But we have a great time. And boy, I'm telling you, if you wasn't here, you missed it. I'm not going into all the details on all the food because I ain't got that much time. But I knew... Freddie and Debbie, I knew they wouldn't be here today. I think they had homecoming. His mom had homecoming or somebody had homecoming. He had told me that they had to go too. But boy, I'm going to tell you what, if you wasn't here Monday, you missed homecoming supper. We're going to have homecoming dinner next week, but we had homecoming supper last week. But I'm here to tell you, how does this Word of God make you want to praise Him even more? I tell you what, if it don't change you, there's something bad wrong. Look at verse 7 again. Watch this verse closely. It says, tell me the next word. What does that mean? That means I promise, right? I promise to do what? Wow. I promise, I will praise thee. With uprightness. Is that not what it says? With uprightness, not as a knot on a log, not as stagnated stump water hung somewhere that it can't get out, but bless God, I'm going to praise you with uprightness. Is that not what the Bible says? We wouldn't have known that unless we opened up the Bible this morning, would we? Changed by the Word of God. Let's move on. Number two. How does the Word of God change us? Number one, it teaches us true principle of praise. Number two, it drives home our earthly status. Now, as I was thinking about that, I looked at verse 19. Look down at verse 19. Look what this says now. Y'all probably can tell I've done a little reading in Psalms chapter 119 this week. But as I come to verse 19, it says this. And how true this is, you've probably heard people say, this ain't my home. How many's ever heard somebody say that? I'm just passing through. Y'all have ever heard somebody say that? This is the verse that comes from. It says, I am a stranger. Where? Yeah. Hide not thy commandments from me. I'm just a stranger, a pilgrim, just passing through. So it drives home, the Word of God tells me, it drives home our earthly status. What does that mean? The Word of God tells me that this is not my home. I'm just passing through. I don't know how long God's going to let me walk. I don't think nobody in here can say that, can we? We don't know how long our days are on earth. Oh, I do know this. Our days are numbered like the hair on our head. Some of your days is about up. Some of you's rubbing that head, you better quit. God did make some perfect heads, though. The rest He put hair on. So y'all keep that in mind. Y'all catch that after a while. But I'm not here forever, amen? I've got another place waiting on me. I've got a home one of these days, church, that the builder and maker is, has nothing to do with man, but the builder and maker is God. He has paved a street for me to walk on of gold. He has built the walls. There's 12 foundations to that one wall. Can you imagine? I can't grasp in my mind. Every one of those foundations is a specific jewel. Each one of them is just a onyx or a jasper. I mean, there's so many of them. Beryl. And then you come up above those 12 foundations. Then you got one complete wall of jasper. Then you got gates on all four sides. 12 gates. I think, ain't that right? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Yeah, there's 12 gates to the city, ain't there? Those gates are just pearl. Can you imagine? Now, I know some of y'all was down at the beach, and you ever eat in an oyster and bit into a little pearl? I have. I love oysters. Any way you give them to me. I like I like my okra. They slide down right easy. Monday night, Debbie made me a whole mess of boiled okra. Boy, you talking about good. It just, you don't even have to chew it. I mean, that saves you room for the other food. You just pinch off the end, and the rest just slides down. Then she had me some squash over here. My goodness. I got to hurry. Time's about gone. I'm hungry now. But I got to thinking how termites tear our house up down here. They do. They eat the wood. And then you got water damage, rotten, right, on wood. You've got cracks in the foundation. You can see it running, you know, through the bricks or blocks or whatever. But my home in heaven, there ain't going to be no damage there. There ain't going to be no heartaches there. Bless God, love handy men to death, but we ain't going to have no niece for one of them up yonder. Our home's perfect there. Can you imagine going to a place that's fairer than day? None is here forever. We seek our new home, and we long for a new country one of these days. I'm looking forward to it. You say, preacher, how do you know all this? It's all right in the Word of God, isn't it? It's all in the Bible. It tells us of all the things that I've talked to you about. So number one, how does the Word of God change it? Change us? It gives us a principle to praise. Number two, it drives home our earthly status. Number three, and I like this one, it removes religion rubbish. It removes religious rubbish, because there are so many preachers, teachers, and books right now teaching religion and not salvation. There's a difference between religion and salvation. You say, what's the difference, preacher? Heaven and hell. That's the difference between religion and salvation. And there's so many people thinking today that you're going to heaven on your good works. Can I say something to you? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. That's hogwash. That's religion. But my Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's salvation, my friend. I hope you ain't got religion this morning. I hear people say all the time, you go out knocking on doors. Well, preacher, I believe. Well, how many know the devil believes fear and trembles? It's what the Bible says. The devil believes there's a God. Does that make him saved? I don't think so. The devil fears. Does that make him saved? I don't think so. What's going to see people saved is the preaching of an old-fashioned Bible, that the believing that the Bible says it, that settles it, and I am stuck to it. Amen. And that's what we need in churches across America nowadays. We don't need some other garbage being, opinions being preached in our pulpits, because opinions is like religion. It's going to send a whole bunch of people to hell right out of their church pews. It's sad, but it's true. It removes religious rubbish. How many know the truth will make you free? The truth sets you free this morning. And there's people all across America right now sitting in the pews of churches are not free. You say, why? Because they're banking on religion and not salvation. You can know the Bible from cover to cover. That still won't get you to heaven. You can quote scripture from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22. That still won't get you to heaven. What will get you to heaven is salvation. Jesus said, you got to come through me in order to get to the Father. Amen. And in order to get to the Father, you got to have Jesus in your heart and save your soul. Man, we've got it all backwards in America today. I believe the more I work, the better off I'm going to be in heaven. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches is salvation first. Amen. You got to ask the Lord into your heart and life, save you, and then He will set the work before you in order for you to do it. There's so many mama called preachers in the pulpit nowadays, I feel sorry for them. Amen. It's sad, but it's true. Look what it says. Not only will it make us free, but it'll make us free from sin and the law. I'm so thankful I'm not under the law no more, aren't you? Everybody know what that means? I've said it 100 times here before. If you're sitting here this morning, thankful you're not under the law, could I hear an amen?
Amen.
If you don't know what that means, say amen. Because I'm going to give you something this morning. Under the law, we had to sacrifice. Under grace, praise God, the sacrifice has already been made. Are you with me now? The Word of God tells me, teaches me, that I am no longer under the law, but I am under grace now. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. I wouldn't know that without the Word of God. Last one, listen to this. Not only it removes religious rubbish from our lives, the truth makes us free. It frees us from the law and sin, but it also frees us from rituals. You ever thought about it that way? Because Jesus came and died, we no longer have to have rituals. I was sitting there and I thought, rituals. Man, how many times have people lit candles and done all these rituals trying to eschew the devil? How many times has people done seances and Ouija boards? Y'all know what I'm talking about. All of that stuff, all of that's of the devil. We no longer have to do rituals no more. Because when Jesus died and shed His life's blood on Calvary's cross, that wiped it all clean. Amen. And I'm praising God for that. Y'all remember in the Old Testament, and keep the death angel, they had to strike the doorpost and the lintel with blood, that they had to pin up a little lamb, and they had to do it with what they called a hyssop bush. That was a mint bush in the Old Testament that they had to dip into that blood and strike the doorpost and the lintel across to keep that death angel out of there. My friend, that's no longer needed, because the death angel ain't going to come until God says it's time to come now. Amen. It's not just once a year. Aren't you glad we're free from rituals? Thank God. It removes religious rubbish. That's in verse 45, by the way. Look at it quickly. I will walk at liberty. Not rituals. I will walk freely. Watch this. For I seek thy precepts. I want to give you one more and I'm done. Look with me at verse 50 while we're right there. The Bible says, this is my comfort in my affliction. For thy what? Hath quickened me. That word quickened means what? To be made alive. You're made alive this morning by the word of God. Number four. I believe this word will comfort us in afflictions. I believe that this morning because of the precepts. How many know God rules in every situation? Did you know that? Did y'all hear what I just said? God rules in all situations. If we leave Him on the throne, a lot of times we like to put ourselves on the pedestal. A lot of times we put ourselves on the throne. If we would ever get to the point that we would quit using God and let God use us, you would see a change in your life. How? By the Word of God. Folks, this Word right here has changed a lot of lives. If your life's been changed by the Word of God, say amen this morning. I don't know about you, but it has truly changed mine. I never thought that old country redneck boy like me would be standing up preaching the gospel in a million years. In a million years. But you know what? God said, do it, and I'm still kicking. I have anointed you to preach the gospel from the poor to the meek, to those that don't have none, to those that have it all. Preach the gospel. That's what He told me. That's why I am so adamant about making fun of what people wear. If they ain't got nothing else, bless God, they can praise God in their holy blue jeans as well as you and I can in a suit. Amen. This word has changed me. Thank God I've been saved. Miss Sandra, if you'd come. I've been saved. How do I know? Because the Word of God tells me. I'm sure that I saved. How do I know? Because the Word of God said I could be sure. I'm sanctified. How do I know? Because the Word of God said be set apart. That's what sanctified means. I wonder if I was to ask the question this morning, has the Word of God changed your life? Have you been saved and you know that beyond any shadow of a doubt? Aren't you glad you can have that peace this morning? It just makes me smile knowing I can have peace in my soul. That when I lay down at night, hey, if I don't open my eyes the next morning down here, I'm a whole lot better than you are that opened your eyes. That's blessed assurance this morning. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. My. Father, Thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, that you give us 66 books to teach us how to walk, how to talk, and how to walk our way to heaven, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thank you for the freedom and liberty I had to preach this morning. Thank you for the Spirit that's working in the lives of your people right now. God, if there's anything hindering anybody from walking that aisle, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ right now. Lord, that we want to make sure that if we was to die right now, we'd go to heaven. Lord, give them freedom to walk the aisle this morning in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Are they one here this morning?